Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show for the little Kiwi Collaborator episode. And today we have the famous, illustrious, and various other nice adjectives guest, the brightest woman I know, incidentally of the same nomenclature, Penny Bright. Welcome to the program.
The flatter get you everywhere, do go on.
Hopefully not everywhere. Speaking of people who are going nowhere, Banksy. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for weeks and been unable to get a hold of you, to my malignant frustration.
Well, that was a shock and awe decision on, what was it, the 5th of June. There was actually, hardly anyone believed that Banks was going to be found guilty. In fact, I got a free coffee off one of the journos and I'm still at 50 cents by another one who didn't think that Banks, neither of them thought that Banks would actually be convicted. And although there's this bit of dancing around on the head of a pin as to whether or not when you're found guilty in a criminal indictment, you're actually convicted, well, the big deal is Banks is gone, Burger. He has now left the house. So that website, www.dodgyjohnhasgone.com, woohoo! Yep, job done.
And what's the potential consequences for him? I mean, what's the sentencing expected to be like?
Well, 1st of August is when Banks is going to be sentenced. Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's left Parliament. Myself, I personally think he should do time. Sometime. I mean, if you look at Tito Phillip Field, who was a New Zealand MP who was found guilty of bribery and corruption and also perverting the course of justice, he was jailed for 6 years. And yet, when you look at what he did, I mean, in terms of proportionality, I think that Banks should do, even if it was 3 months or something just to show, listen, just because you're a former minister of the Crown, you are not a form of protected species, and the rule of law equally applies to you. And given that Banks was the leader of the ACT Party, who made such a big deal about personal responsibility, I mean, for God's sake, I've never met any person whose signature has been so bloody meaningless.
Because of his ability to avoid having any responsibility.
Well, exactly right. I mean, you know, it's not like I haven't had a go. I mean, about, don't forget, 3 years ago in 2011, I stood against John Banks in Epsom, and the reason why I did that was to try and help cast a public spotlight how come Acts One Law for All hadn't applied to particularly himself, but also the other former leader of the ACT Party, Don Brash. They were all equally directors of Hulich Wealth Management, New Zealand Limited. They, as directors, three of them had all equally signed misleading registered prospectuses, but only ever one director, Peter Hulich, was ever charged. Now, this is like when you drive 60 k's in the 50 k area, this was a strict liability offence. It should have been charged. Well, goodness me. I mean, I did, you know, I tried my hardest. The former Securities Commission never charged Banks or Brash. I asked the Finance Markets Authority to charge them. Nope. The police, nope. Serious Fraud Office, nope. Got a petition into Parliament asking for an inquiry into these Hulich prosecutions. And what happened eventually was that the Commerce Select Committee, of which 5 out of 9 were National Party MPs, we have no matters to bring before the House.
Can I make a statement that I came up with off the back of some of your research, Penny? New Zealand is so corrupt that no corruption ever gets reported because all the people who are supposed to expose it and charge people for it are also corrupt.
Well, I've just got a little development on that one. You may recall that I did a lot of research on the how basically Sky City Casino have effectively set up a money laundering factory in the heart of Auckland City, and nobody who's anybody has done any due diligence on the increased risk of money laundering, and that applies to the Prime Minister, the Minister of Economic Development, the Organised and Financial Crime Agency of New Zealand, Ofcans, Auckland Central Police or Auckland Council. Not one of them, and I've got the paper trail to prove it, not one of them did any due diligence on the increased risk of money laundering with the Sky City deal, which, you know, Sky City give us a convention centre and they get another 230 pokey machines. And, of course, that deal that was done sort of by the Prime Minister over dinner and over the phone in all manner of improper ways, which the Deputy Auditor General said was not done properly. And then, of course, you had the legislation to entrench the deal. Well, the bottom line is that I made a complaint to the Auditor General to please do an inquiry as to why the body that's tasked with helping to fight money laundering, Organised and Financial Crime Agency of New Zealand, Ofcams, why they hadn't done any due diligence. And she didn't do one and danced around on the head of a pin. Oh, you know, it was policy when it wasn't. Because Ofcams, they get money from Vote Police. They get money, about 10 grand, 10 million a year to do a job, and their job is to help stop money laundering. Well, they hadn't done their job, so Auditor General, get off your butt and do an inquiry. No. And then I find out the reason why the Auditor General hadn't been involved in the in this earlier inquiry into how the Prime Minister, etc., had done it, because she had a small shareholding in Sky City. And guess what? She was a shareholder in Sky City at a time I asked her to do an inquiry into a matter involving Sky City. There's a word for that, and it begins with C. Corrupt. Anyway, I petitioned Parliament for an inquiry as to why the Auditor General didn't reveal this conflict of interest, and it went to the Finance and Expenditure Select Committee. We have no matters to bring before the House. You couldn't make that shit up. Oh, sorry, you couldn't make...
Okay, for your life, Penny, I don't give a shit.
But seriously, because, I mean, I've raised this. I've just come back from the G20 anti-corruption conference where I went with my friend Grace Hayden. So, yeah, we were at Griffith University in Brisbane for a couple of days, and, oh, my God, we blew the whistle till our eyeballs bled, basically. And, anyway, in discussions, as you do with these experts, as soon as I mentioned that our Auditor General, Lynn Provost, actually had a shareholding in Sky City Casino, their eyebrows were going through their foreheads. It's like, what? You know, in itself, just the fact that she was a shareholder in Sky City in a gaming institute, it's, you know, that is just in itself,
Penny,
very dodgy.
I'm not sure if this is entirely relevant, but I was really drunk one night and I was talking to a guy. To a guy from Slovakia.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about New Zealand corruption. And he says, oh, you guys don't know what corruption is. Okay? In Slovakia, you go out, you want to buy a loaf of bread or something, you have to pass by some kind of mafioso little official, etc., in order to go and do something. They control everything. And they do it really obviously, too. And all the governments are just puppets, you know, and things like that to the mafia in my country. And I said, well, you know, you make an interesting point. The only difference between Slovakia being controlled by the mafia and New Zealand being governed by the New Zealand government is that people think that the New Zealand government isn't a mafia. Beyond that, there actually isn't much of a difference.
Well, the fact of the matter is that basically corruption can be divided into two main types. Petty corruption, where you pay the cop $50 to get off a ticket sort of thing, or grand corruption, think corruption that happens at a very high level. And although apparently petty corruption is actually increasing in New Zealand, the reality is we are rotten with corruption when it comes to grand corruption at the highest level. And I'll do a little quiz for your listeners. Have you ever heard of a form of corruption which is endemic in this country known as state capture? State capture. What's state capture? State capture is where vested interests get their way at the policy level before the law is passed. And that's how the Business Roundtable used to do it in New Zealand. Roger Kerr, who used to be the CEO of the New Zealand Business Roundtable, he used to focus specifically on policy, okay? And then what happens is when you check with the policy analyst before legislation goes through the House, you check with whom are they consulting? Because what happens is you get all manner of vested interests being treated as if they are independent third parties or they're asked their opinion. Then it goes through the parliamentary sausage machine and comes out of law the other side, and that's where they get their way, focusing at the policy level, okay? That is one form of grand corruption, which is endemic in this country. The other one is post-separation employment, the more slang name for that's the revolving door. And this is where people go from public office to the private sector without any quarantine period, any like time off. For example, having like a 2-year, 18 months or 2-year period from going from public office, like especially if you're like a minister, to going to a job in the private sector, like a lobbyist or working in some institution where you could be seen to be using contacts or information that you got as a result of your public service job in the private sector. That revolving door in New Zealand is on permanent rotation, both at central and local government level. And a real good example of that is the former Minister of Justice and Commerce, Simon Power. Now, when he left in 2011, he went straight through that revolving door and ended up being the head of Westpac Private Bank. Well, Westpac are the bank the government uses. And if Simon Power had been a minister in any state or Commonwealth, you know, the Commonwealth government in Australia, that would have been an offence. He would not have been allowed by law to do that.
Supplementary, he also signed off on an illegal investigation of Alan Hubbard's company, which was at the time one of the most valued companies in the South Island, against the advice of Treasury, mind you. And guess who was the prime beneficiary in the seizure of those assets and the on-selling of the like? Westpac Corporate Banking. Where did Simon Power wind up working directly after signing off that investigation?
That's one I didn't know. That's one I didn't know. But I tell you what, here's the secret. It's follow the dollar and always go to source and look at the connections. All right? Look at the connections between people. But I'll be campaigning against John Key in Helensville. And, of course, the great thing about Helensville is that the boundaries of Helensville are within the super city boundaries. Well, in this last year's Auckland mayoral race, I mean, I polled fourth with nearly 12,000 votes, and a number of people who voted for me will have come from that area that's within the Helensville electorate. So, so that's the plan, Stan, and especially in light of this bank's decision, which has been marvellous. It's been a shock and awe decision, and there will be repercussions. I mean, the police have said, well, basically the world's now changed. So how keen they will be just to say, we don't want to do anything to do with bribery and corruption complaints, we shall see. But what it's also doing is people are getting it. We need a genuinely independent commission against corruption, and New Zealand needs to ratify the UN Convention Against Corruption. And this doesn't mean that, that therefore makes us part of the New World Order as such. What it is, I mean, the UN is highly contradictory, but I mean, just like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that's a great document, you know, that where you have best practice, where sovereign states, they choose to get their domestic legislation in order to be able to fight corruption. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just because you're taking one policy, like let's say somebody writes a book and it's a really bad, evil book or something like that, but there's this great phrase in it which is very telling and has wonderful truth about it and is actually quite useful to convince people of things. You just don't tell them where the book came from or whatever, and nobody's the wiser. However, if you tell them where the book came from, they assume that you agree with everything else that's written in it.
Well, what I just want people to do is just think for yourself and use your brain, for God's sake.
Can I make a point here? I'm sorry to cut you off, but what you've done, you and Mr. McCready, as well as anybody else involved with this effort to get the conviction of Banks, is, to my mind, you've exposed the fact that all the regulatory agencies that would expose somebody with corruption are there to conceal it and protect the corrupt. and that a single person or a group of independent people who are not even being paid have the know-how and the capacity to use private prosecution, which is the tool that they've resisted using because they've been trying to appeal to these authorities the entire time without taking it on their own head and going out and taking the scum on themselves. Just my opinion. I might not know all the elements.
Well, the thing is this, that, I mean, Graham will be the first to tell you that, you know, there was a certain amount of sort of stumbling as he got the case into court. But by the same token, I mean, you learn by doing. And
you can't argue with results.
Well, you can't. It was massive. And, I mean, what was interesting is that that it was myself and Lisa Prager. We were the two that actually took this complaint against Banks to the police, and Trevor Mallard from the Labor Party, Labor Party. He made a complaint to the electoral officer because it's two different paths you can go down. And as soon as the electoral officer discovered that there'd been a complaint already lodged with the police, he just passed the parcel straight to them. But I mean, what's really outrageous there in terms of the degree of, you know, scumbaggery is that there were a number of pieces of legislation that were absolutely dependent on the vote of Dodgy John. I mean, the Public Finance Mixed Ownership Model Act, which allowed the partial privatisation of especially electricity assets, went through 61 votes to 60. Now, what really got me at that time, Lisa and I made our complaint to the cops on the 27th of April, 2012. And of course, the longer the cops sat on it, when did that bill got through on the 29th of June? So timing was everything. You know what I'm saying? So that if the cops had got off their butt and actually did the job that Graham Creedy ended up doing.
Can I ask you?
That could have been a different outcome, you know.
Was John Banks by chance a former police commissioner?
He was former minister of police.
Ah, okay. I, you know, just a stab in the dark here.
Well, I mean, seriously, eh? But what got me was the absolute arrogance, because all the time Banks was like this little wooden robot, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Well, why didn't he plonk his butt in the witness box? He didn't. And, I mean, I was there every day in court, every day, because the role I played was, apart from originally being one of the complainants, I was actually helped Graham McCready by being the process server that drove out to the wilds of Coatesville and personally hand-delivered to Kim.com at the mansion his witness summons and the witness summons for his then head of security, Wayne Tempero. And earlier I'd gone to Simpson Grierson and handed the witness summons to Greg Tower, his lawyer, and I went round to Sky City and handed the witness summons to CEO for Sky City, Nigel Morrison, to his EA. So basically it was my work that got them into court to give the oral evidence which established there was a case to answer. So any time I have a brain fade now, it's understandable because I too have been to the Kim.com mention. Just kidding. Yeah, anyway, so, yeah.
You know, Penny, hats off to you. Congratulations.
You don't wear a hat. You're tricking me. Thank you, Vinny. Well, I mean, it's been fascinating stuff, it has. But the difference between myself and Graham is I'm a born and bred political activist, and there is a difference because it's making a fuss in the court of public opinion, and that's where I have quite some expertise. And so making the fuss, and my good friend Jax Taylor, all the hours Jax and I put into having the banners up, just the two of us, in the wilds of Remuera Road. You know, the not-so-honourable John Banks has all the class of a rat with a gold tooth, Dodgy John Banks protected by Shonky Jonky. All of that helped keep the issue alive, you know, and getting arrested in John Banks' electoral office to prove difference between how quickly the cops would act if Axe sick the cops onto me versus how quickly they act when we try to sick the cops onto him. The cops ended up dropping that case, but it got some publicity. But you know what I mean? It's just that making the fuss, it's pivotal. If you don't have a fuss in the court of public opinion, then on matters like this, you're unlikely to have success in the court of law, is my opinion.
Well, I saw the difference between appealing to the authorities to help and do the job and do the jobs that they're supposed to versus just basically doing it yourself, and the success thereof.
Well, I think the thing is that
I mean, you had to go through all that rigmarole and all of those kind of things to realise that you had to do it yourself, right?
Well, all that. And I mean, I think the thing that where Graham appealed to people was the fact that he's not known as a political activist, which he isn't, and also the fact that, I mean, he'd been successful in getting a private prosecution against Trevor Mallard, who's from Labor, and also Toe Henry. So the concept was he was seen as being, you know, even-handed, a bit more even-handed, and he'd have a go. Plus the fact that we tried to get that corrupt Auckland mayor, and I will add my considered opinion, but I mean, Graham and I tried to get action taken against Mayor Len Brown for bribery and corruption as well. I mean, his role over that Sky City stuff is just appalling.
I wonder, in your expertise, Penny, we've only got a couple of minutes left in the segment. Do you know, or could you verify any current political figurehead in New Zealand that actually has clout, power, position of authority, etc., that isn't corrupt? Like somebody who you could point at and go, that person right there, totally not corrupt. You can't actually trust them.
Well, I would say is you got to, yeah, looking at things on an issue by issue basis. Well, I mean,
I'll take that as a no.
Well, I don't want to be unfair here either. But I just think that, with this upcoming election, I mean, a lot of people know, who are you going to vote for? And I say, well, at the moment I'm an undecided voter, and I am. But I know there'll be a lot of people who'll be very interested when I finally do make my mind up, but it won't be just on a whim and how I feel on the day. My track record is that I will have a series of questions that I'll ask the political parties and who ticks the most boxes. But by the same token, its proven track record is very important, because words are cheap and anybody can say anything. Take that Colin bloody Craig, give me a break. I mean, just that last point there on Colin Craig. I mean, the idea that someone who's basically done nothing for the public or the public interest rises like a phoenix out of the ashes when there's an election on and then vanishes without trace in between times, hasn't done anything you can point a stick at that's helped the public in any way, and then, oh, National, I want you to stand someone down so I can have their seat. In my considered opinion, Colin Craig is, he's not honest, because I know what he said back in 2010 in the Auckland mayoralty when we were both candidates, when I asked him, do you believe in private water contracts of 35 years? No, he said, but I, you know, 5 years is all right. But being a little bit pregnant. So at those days, he did support water privatisation. But then you see he polls people to find out what they think and regurgitates what they want to hear, opposed to asset sales, which is privatisation. So I'm sorry, I don't trust Colin Craig. And the other thing is, when you look at his background, working with property developers, and he manages body corporates, what's your position on a capital gains tax, Colin? Because he's never given a straight answer on that one. And why am I the only one asking that question? What's his position on capital gains tax? So I think that's really where he's coming from. And, of course, if you end up, God help us, please no, but if you ended up in a situation where with John Key could get some sort of alliance with Colin Craig, oh, one of the deals is that Colin Craig and the Conservatives don't want a capital gains tax. You're just, you know, they haven't said that, but that's what I predict would be on the horizon. Yeah.
Yep. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, we can't tell you who to vote for. We can tell you who probably is not a good idea to vote for because they're full of what would normally reside inside Peter Dunne. But the other element here is, you know, you actually have to do your research. And as Penny says, if they ain't got a track record, you can't frickin' trust them straight out the gate. There's a number of new political parties and things of that nature that are coming up now. It's, as Penny's exposed earlier, not illegal to knowingly misrepresent your policies and then do the exact opposite of whatever they are as soon as people give you the power to do what you want.
Well, that's a fascinating thing, because there isn't an equivalent of the Fair Trading Act for politicians, and that if in a candidate's booklets for local government, what happens, basically, you can just write whatever you like. There's no requirement for any of that information to be accurate. But if you're a reporter reporting on what's said, and you don't get whatever the candidates have said right, you're the one in trouble. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, you just couldn't make this stuff up, eh? But anyway, folks, I am going to stand in Helensville to help keep the blowtorch on John Key. I do need some money to help out. I've just come back from this anti-corruption conference, which is $320 a week. It doesn't leave much money for the phone bills and the power bills and blah, blah, blah. So
you should do what I'm doing, Penny, and I'll help you set up a PayPal thing so that people can just basically make a monthly contribution just to make sure that you're funded and you got the stuff that you need.
Well, the thing is that the election is, you know, it's 20th of September, is less than 3 months away. I need a station wagon. Doesn't matter, as long as it's current registered and warranted. It doesn't have to be flash, but I need something that's big enough to put the hoardings in the back and then I can put signage on. If anyone's got one sitting in the shed, that's...
Or a van.
Van... I suppose it could be a van.
Imagine one of those big, like, Toyota Hiace vans with a huge, huge
back. I don't need anything big and flat. I mean, a station wagon would be fine. Like I say, it doesn't have to be flash, but as long as it's legal. And or even the loan of for 3 months. But if but I want to put signage on it, so don't know how that's going to work with folks. But, you know, like if 200 people gave me $20, boy, that'd be a big help right now.
Mm. All right, Penny Bright. The website is waterpressure.wordpress.com. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, listener-supported broadcasting. So if you want to keep ensuring these broadcasts keep going on, and people who, you know, have to go out there and actually work for a living, like Penny, actually get some of the coverage they deserve, unlike myself. I'm a lazy bastard sometimes. Anyway, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and sign up today to give us $5 to $10 a month, because all that does is really just pay the bills and everything. My wife actually did the finances, and I think between the two of us, we've lived off $13,000 in the last year. You know, it's like a pitiful small amount.
Good on you, Vinny.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is that when you look at the monies, some people get, it's about results for effort, eh? And it's, as usual, it's the masses who get off their asses that make history. You don't need a cast of thousands to make a difference. It's all about focus and timing.
Well, despite the fact that I have a very low budget, I did just go over the 3 million hits mark on my YouTube channel.
Wow, well
and
done. Good on you.
Now have nearly 15,000 subscribers in the New Zealand Herald with all their budget, everything that they've got behind them, as well as the, I think, the country's fourth most visited website, certainly the top news site in the country. They only have less than 10,000 subscribers to their YouTube channel. So, yeah, like I said, you can't argue with results.
Yeah, exactly right.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening.